Good morning. I think I'm wearing this thing right. If you are between the ages of 3 and 6, now would be the time that you're dismissed to children's church. How's everybody doing this morning? I'm so thankful that I get the opportunity to be here with my beautiful Taylor Street family. Alana and I have so much love for each and every one of you. And we couldn't be more grateful for the way that this family has taken care of us. And I know that I might really resemble Doug in stature and appearance, but don't confuse us, church. He's way better looking. And if you're listening, Doug, that's true. This morning, we're going to begin by sitting in silence for 1 minute. So wherever you are, I pray that you block out all distractions and simply enjoy this momentary silence. I really debated having a moment of silence this morning because I just knew that some of you weren't going to wake up until the song of invitation. And if I were in your shoes, I'd probably be one of you. But, church, it is in quietness and trust where we find rest for our souls and where we know God Almighty. There's this story of a guy whose home was facing a life-threatening flood. And by the time the waters came up to his front step, his home had turned into an island, just surrounded by nothing but water. At that point, a rescue worker came up to his home in a kayak and offered to rescue him. And the man replied, "No thanks, I'm waiting for God to rescue me." So the flood waters continued to rise, forcing the man to the second floor of his house. Then another rescue boat came, but he refused the help, saying again, "I'm sure God will save me." Well, the rising waters forced him to his roof, at which point a rescue helicopter flew overhead and dropped in a lifeline, to which the man replied, "I'm fine. God will save me." Well, sadly, the waters eventually washed the man away to his death, after which the man found himself in heaven. And when he arrived in heaven, as he was standing before God, he couldn't help but wonder why God didn't save him from the flood. So he asked God, "What happened? I trusted you to rescue me." And then God looks at him and says, "Son, I sent you 2 boats and a helicopter." See, God speaks to us in all kinds of different ways. He speaks to us in the midst of turmoil. He speaks to us in the midst of uncertainty and chaos. And he even speaks to us in quietness and in lowly whispers. But when we miss God's voice and direction, I wonder if it's because we lack trust. I wonder if it's because in the midst of turmoil and chaos, we can so easily forget who we are and who we serve. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. In 1 Kings 19, the prophet Elijah goes into hiding in the wilderness for fear of being killed by the Israelite people and prophets who worshiped a false god named Baal. And after 40 days and 40 nights, Elijah finds himself in Horeb, the mountain of God. And as the text says, there he finds a cave and spends the night. Let's pick it up in verse 8. So he got up, ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And so there was a great and powerful wind, but God wasn't in that wind. There was an earthquake, but God wasn't there either. There was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. It was in a gentle whisper that God came to Elijah to give him his next instruction. And out of obedience and trust, Elijah hears God. Church, we've been through our own earthquakes just this past year. We've been through our own rock-shattering winds and fire, and some of you may be going through winds, earthquakes, and fires right now. But in obedience, we are still here. Because of God's strength and power, because of His guidance and direction, we are still here, sitting before our Lord and God. And I truly believe that now, more than ever, He is calling us to stand up as His church, to go out and proclaim His power and His kingdom. See, this life can hit us with some dark times, and this world is plagued with delusion and deceitfulness, with greed and lies, with disease and sickness, with loss and uncertainty, and fear has a grip like no other. And it's exhausting, and it's discouraging, and it's so easy to forget who we are and who we serve. And some of us don't know which way to go anymore or what to believe. Well, let me tell you, church, when you find that you cannot decide what to believe anymore, remember this: from the beginning of time until now, there has only ever been one truth. One truth that stands the test of time, one truth that never wavers, and one truth that never changes. And what fires me up even more is that we belong to that truth. How many of you believe that this morning? Listen, the battle, the struggles that we experience in this life are not our battles. See, we have a greater battle to stand for. So let's listen to Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. See, Paul understood his role in his time. Though in chains, he was commissioned to speak and to declare God's word fearlessly, and so are we. He was commissioned to stand for God's word fearlessly, and so are we. But we can't do it without God's strength and God's direction. And it is our responsibility to tune our ears and our hearts to His work. Church, I've got something to say this morning. We are children of God before we are anything else. And being a child of God comes with responsibility. The responsibility to walk in faith, to walk in trust, and to walk in peace. Being clothed in the full armor of God, we are commissioned to declare His word, to stand in peace, to walk in peace, and to live in peace. But how can I, in the face of such turmoil? Don't you see what's going on around us? How can I walk in peace right now? First, because you are a child of God, fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And second, because church, our battle has already been won. We serve a victorious God who has already given us the two most important things in life, and that's life and that's love. I want to leave you this morning with Paul's words from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says this, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to Himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Church, when the oceans rise and when the thunders roar, soar with God above the storm. Because He is King over the flood, be still and know that He is God. I pray that you are reminded this morning of who you belong to and who you serve. And at the beginning and at the end of each day, may you find rest in your soul in our God Almighty, in quietness, in stillness, and in trust. May you hear his gentle whispers, and may you be strengthened by his word. Church, God's power is at work, and I absolutely believe that. Do not fear, and instead may you be filled with the peace of Christ, our Lord. And if you're in need of prayer this morning, or in need of anything else, I ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.